Greetings, everyone, and welcome to Tales from the Bar. I'm really happy you're here to start your weekend off right. I'm your host, Jen Noga, and today we're joined by Kevin from the Alt Pop Project Day 2. Grab your favorite drink, sit back, and enjoy your time at the bar. So hello, everyone. Welcome back to Tales from the Bar. I'm here with Day 2. He can go ahead and introduce themselves.
What's up? I'm Kevin. I go by Day 2, and I'm an Alt Pop artist from Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Wisconsin is the only state I have not visited east of the Mississippi.
Oh, really? Okay.
I've been to every single state east of the Mississippi except Wisconsin.
Okay. Well, you got to come. You got to come. There's a lot going on in Milwaukee. A lot of people, you know, it gets overshadowed by Chicago, something like that. But there's something very special about the big city with the small town feel.
That's how I feel like in my college town when I was living on campus. It's definitely like there's a lot of people, but it feels like a very small town where it's like mm-hmm. you go like a half hour to like Akron and it's like a big city feel.
Yeah.
And it's just it boggles my mind.
Yeah, I live like 5 minutes outside of the city, but it truly is like a 5 minute drive and then you're downtown. Whereas, you know, like if you're in San Francisco or LA and you're trying to come from one of the burbs, it's going to take you a while, you know,
ever.
Yeah.
So I start off all of my interviews with a very simple question, just like an icebreaker. What is your favorite 90s bop?
My favorite 90s bop? I love boy bands. Like I love them. So like my friends and I always debate whether NSYNC or like Backstreet Boys are better. I think the Backstreet Boys were better personally. I love Justin Timberlake, but I like the Backstreet Boys. So I would go with everybody, Backstreet's Back, because that bass line is unreal. Like I genuinely think it's like the best bass line ever written in that song. I would go with that.
That's a hot take, and I'm glad that you shared that.
Yeah, I like listen to it again with that in mind. You'll be like, dang, Kevin was right. He was right all along. Yeah.
And then my other icebreaker question is, since this is called Tales from the Bar and we're hypothetically at a bar, what is your go-to drink or like your favorite drink?
Most of the time I'll just drink beer. I like sour beers a lot. But if I'm ordering like a cocktail, I'm a big fan of just like a 7 and 7. So like, yeah, just keeping it simple.
I've never had a 7 and 7 before.
7 and 7. So like traditionally it's made with like Seagram's 7 and then 7 Up. But a lot of the times they don't have Seagram's or 7 Up or whatever. So they'll just make it with, you know, kind of whatever brandy or whiskey or Sprite type stuff they have.
I'm a Dirty Shirley gal.
Okay. So
I, you know, there's lots of sugar involved, so it kind of cancels out the alcohol taste.
Yeah.
And, you know, those get you fucked up pretty quickly.
Yeah, they're dangerous for sure. Absolutely.
They are definitely dangerous. When I turned 21, depending on who makes them, if you have like a heavy hand, I can do about 3 or 4 because I'm a lightweight. But when I was at a family thing, the bartender like gave me this big glass and she filled it up like this much with vodka. And I was like, I'm going to die.
Oof,
but it's fine. Yeah. That's like 4 drinks for me.
Yeah. Dang. That is rough.
So you're playing Wonder Bus. Have you done festivals before?
Yeah. So Summerfest in Milwaukee. I've done that. This is gonna be my first time at Wonder Bus, which I'm really excited. I like Columbus. I played in Cincinnati before. I was supposed to play in Columbus, but that show ended up getting canceled. I was on tour with Robert DeLong and we were going through there, but then that show didn't end up happening. So I'm excited to go back and just experience the people and also be there for Wonder Bus, which they have a sick lineup. So I'm gonna stick around after my set. And catch Lord and 90s Kids and Coin and all that stuff. So I'm very 90s excited.
90s Kids is great. They're very nice. I don't know if you know them, but they're very nice.
I don't know them personally, but they're on the same booking as I am. But prior to that, I just like found their music and I dug it a lot. So I'm excited to see them. Yeah.
I went to Wonderstruck, which is the Cleveland version, because I'm from Cleveland. And this will be my first time at Wonder Bus. So I'm like a little anxious, but very excited. And some of the bands that are on the bill played like shows that were like closer to me too, that weren't just festivals. So Cousin Simple, 90s Kids and Fangs I'll have seen three times this summer, like within this like span of like 2 months.
That's great. That's great. Yeah. Okay. Fangs is cool too. I think they're the day after I'm there, right? They're the 28th.
I think so.
Yeah. Yeah. That's too bad. But Fangs is dope.
Yeah. I mean, you get to play with Lord, and that is to me like one of the highest honors because she was my first concert ever.
Really?
So that's I'm really excited because yeah, I'm a concert photographer. So like, it'll be like full circle for me. I'm like, my friends would have to like hold me up in the pit and I'm going to be like, just click. I can do this.
Right. Oh, that's amazing. That's so exciting. Yeah, no, I'm super pumped for Lord as well. We're definitely all going to stick around and yeah, just have a good day there.
So say you're given all the money ever. Like you have unlimited money.
Unlimited money. Sounds
and it does. And they're like, hey, we're going to put on a festival where you're the headliner and you can pick anybody to like co-headline with you or just be on the bill. Who would you want on that bill with you?
Oh, like create a bill right now.
Yeah.
So not just like one person to co-headline, but like openers and everything too. Oh man, that's a fantastic question. I love that. I would have Death Cab for Cutie on there. John Bellion. I would 21 Pilots. They always put on a great show. So I would definitely have them on there. But maybe not because they might outshadow me. So maybe I wouldn't put them on there actually. But John Bellion puts on a hell of a show too, and so does Death Cab. And and all my buddies, all my friends. Yeah.
That sounds like a really fun time. Do you have any like who like smaller like your friends like who comes to mind? Like
It would be a genre change up for sure, but my buddies in After Hour Animals, they're like, you know, like metalcore, rock, and they're doing some great stuff. So shout out like Nick Jurgeloff in there and Armand Salamanti, goes by Armand Hassan and Nick Boyne, but yeah, those guys are great. They're doing some really cool stuff. They're from Milwaukee as well, called After Hour Animals. Yeah, I mean, those are the first people that came to mind. But Micah Emrich is from Milwaukee as well. MICAHEMRICH. He's this crazy, like, it's like hip hop, but it's also hyper pop. It's a lot like Breakins, if you've ever heard Breakins before. And he's doing some really, really dope stuff. So I would definitely toss him on there too. And now I'm going to get a bunch of texts after this, like yelling at me because I forgot some friends to say. So, yeah.
Just because you didn't say them doesn't mean they're not important.
They're on the bill. They're on the lineup for the festival. All right. Yeah, you know? And it's unlimited. There. It's unlimited money, so they're gonna get just fat stacks. So it'll exactly. Be all right. Yeah.
So say a music producer or a movie producer comes up to you, and they go, "Hey, we are gonna make a movie based on your last 5 releases. What type of movie is it?"
Oh man, based on my last 5 releases. What are my last 5 releases? I don't remember. I might have to check that. Recently? Oh man, I feel like that would be a pretty sad movie. And I typically try to keep my music, you know, I typically try to keep it kind of bright, just with like some lyrical dissonance. But recently it's been pretty dark. Except for ones that are bad for me, which is like, it's a pretty messed up song, but it sounds really happy. It would probably be some weird avant-garde, like everything is happy and bright color waves and, you know, high ISO, but the dialogue is deadpan and kind of depressing and tongue in cheek. Some weird stuff maybe.
Who would you want to like be in your movie, like actor, actress wise?
I would say, I don't know, Zac Efron. Zac Efron's cool. I feel like he always kills it. Otherwise, Tom Holland or Timothy Chalamet, any of those young guns, They'd be killing it. And then probably just like, you know, Jennifer Aniston, because why not? She can play me, you know. and Emma Stone. I'm a big fan of Emma Stone. That'd be sick. She can play me too. They'll like switch off.
It'll be like the Olsen twins.
Yeah, exactly. Except they won't look anything alike. So it'll just, but that adds to the weirdness of it, right? Yeah.
Right.
I think that'll be my cast. And then they'll all play all the different people. Those five people will just change. Like they'll put on a mustache and stuff and then be a different character.
I'd see that. Yeah, I'd watch the movie. As long as it has a concrete ending, I'm good. Because my biggest pet peeve is like movies that don't have concrete endings.
Mm.
So like when I watch like Monty Python or like Hail Caesar or Atomic Blonde, like there's no concrete like ending. It's like open to interpretation. And that really pisses me off for some reason. It's like it's just a big pet peeve of mine.
Right. How do you feel about like Pulp Fiction then?
It's been a while since I've seen Pulp Fiction, so I don't actually remember how it ends.
Okay. Yeah. But, well, I mean, it's one of those movies that, you know, it's Quentin Tarantino and it jumps around a lot and, you know, all that stuff. So I was curious, but yeah. Have you seen the movie Nocturnal Animals?
No.
Okay. So that's on Netflix. It's a darker one, but it's not like it's spooky. It's not like it's scary. And it definitely has an ending, but it is not a typical ending. So, you know, it's a strange one and it's dark, but I don't know. I've only talked to you now for what, like 13 minutes, but you might like it. I think everybody who I've talked to, they at least, it captures their attention and it keeps them the whole time. So at the very least, it's not boring.
That's good.
Yeah. I'm a fan of it.
Cause like psych thrillers bore me sometimes.
Oh, okay.
Because I'm like, oh, like I understand what's happening. Like this is where the plot's gonna go. So then I'm like taken out of the movie. Like when I saw Hereditary.
Yeah, I wasn't a big fan of Hereditary.
I wasn't either, and I was taken out of the movie within like the first 20 minutes because of the sister when she had her allergic reaction. I was like, if she's that allergic to peanuts or nuts or whatever, why doesn't she carry an EpiPen? And why does anybody use it? Like she didn't have to get decapitated. It would have been fine.
Yeah, I know. Well, that movie I always felt like was disturbing just for the sake of being disturbing.
I saw it in theaters. I paid money for that.
Yeah. That's how I also felt. And like all my friends love Midsommar, but I didn't like Midsommar. I felt like it was another one of those movies that was like, oh, let's be disturbing and shocking just for the sake of being disturbing and shocking.
It was like season one of American Horror Story. Like,
I liked season one of American
Horror. It was good. They just like keep like upping the ante. I feel like,
oh yeah,
like be just for the sake of doing it.
Right. And all, I mean, also I don't know anything about movies or filmmaking, but as you know, it's my opinion.
Yeah. Opinions are good to have because it's not everybody's going to like every piece of art that gets put out there.
Right.
So I feel like it's good to have, you know, critics of things to be like, this is what you probably could have done better. And then, you know, I'm really bad at taking constructive criticism. So, you know, I'd probably cry, but then I'd be like, okay, like it'll be fine.
Well, I've always thought that some of the best art was some of the most controversial art. So if you have people who hate it, chances are you might be onto something.
Yeah.
You know, so those people must be onto something because I'm not a fan of it. So, you know, but I've always thought about that. Like super polarizing characters are clearly doing or saying something that is culturally relevant or important in some factor to have so many people in an uproar, you know, or to have so many people diehard fans of it. Oh no, I was just gonna say, because I can't think of the last time there was like a super big star or hit or just big piece of art in general where that everybody was just like, yeah, I love it, you know. I don't think there's been except maybe like Blinding Lights by The Weeknd, because like that crosses generations, but The Weeknd's next level, so Sorry, yeah. What were you going
to
say?
I was just going to say, unrelated to the interview, but what's a movie you've seen an uncomfortable amount of times? Because I've seen Ratatouille quite a lot and X-Men First Class probably like 180 times, give or take.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Oh, man. I would say probably Spider-Man Homecoming. Just the first of the Tom Holland trilogy. I'm a huge Spider-Man fan. I always have been. But I like when that movie was released to where you could like buy it after it was in theaters or whatever, I got it. And at the same time, I just happens to be going through like a really bad breakup. And so every night I would just turn it on because it was like comfort, you know, like Spider-Man. Yeah. And it was the new one. And I would just fall asleep to that every night for weeks. So I would probably say that one. I still love the movie, but I've definitely seen that movie more than I'd care to admit.
Yeah, I like when I'm sad, Ratatouille is like my go-to movie. That's for great. Some reason. That's so, great. You know, there's just something so wholesome about a little rat being a chef.
Yeah.
Having his own restaurant.
He's just doing his thing. You know, he just wants to cook.
Yeah. He's just living his life. And, you know, the health inspector is just out to get him.
Right.
The antagonist. It's straightforward.
Like, aren't we all just rats in a chef's hat? You know what I mean?
That is so true, bestie. Okay. So I wrote all my questions out of order because I'm a bitch with ADHD. So, you know, it happens.
It doesn't matter. Hit me with it.
Okay. Yeah. So who are some of your influences, like, for your songwriting or your performing? It doesn't necessarily have to be an artist. It could be somebody in your life.
Yeah. I would say, as of recently, my sister just had her first child. So that's like the, you know, that's like that made me an uncle. So that's my baby niece. And so recently it's been her, and how, you know, what is being said in the music to shape a better world rather than just me sharing my personal opinion on it. What is going to make an impact and be, like we were talking about before, impactful art? Because there is a place, obviously, and I do this all the time for just, you know, breakup songs and love songs, because everyone needs those, and I love those, but also opening up a sort of dialogue for deeper issues, to hopefully influence a positive change, for, you know, people like her who will grow up in a world, in a different world than we are or we have. And yeah, hopefully just make it a better place. So I would say recently it's been a lot of just a little baby who's just eating foods for the first time, and I'll go over to their house and I'll just watch and I'll be like, wow.
Oh, to be a baby.
Yeah.
Not maybe. Don't have to pay taxes, don't have to worry about all these other things that come with being an adult.
Yeah.
I random fun fact, but I have an uncle named Kevin. So when you said that, I was like, oh, I was like, this is a fun thing that I'm going to share that has no relevance to anything ever.
Well, at the end, I'm going to take off my mask and I'll be your uncle.
Okay. So, yeah. That's perfect.
You kind of ruined the surprise, but
damn it.
It's okay.
So what is your favorite song to perform live, and what is the story behind that song?
So actually, it's a new one that I'm performing live for the first time at Wonderbus, Mr. Suitman. And that's a song that I just put out. The story behind that one, it actually goes hand in hand with just like wanting to create a better world where people are taken care of. And I wrote it the moment I found out about like the Supreme Court's decision on Roe v. Wade. I struggle a lot with how much I'm allowed to talk with things, you know, talk about things like that. Because obviously I have a certain amount of privilege. And so I can't step into the shoes of women or anybody who is, you know, feeling hurt by that. And so I consulted a lot of them and how they were feeling. And I wanted to use like whatever little platform I may have or whatever privilege I may have to make a positive change and give those people a voice, not speak for them, but open up room for them to be heard. And so, yeah. And that song, I've been very pumped about how the live arrangement for it has come together. And I'm very excited to play that at Wonderbus. Yeah.
I'm excited to hear it. It definitely feels like it has like a good like relevance and like message, especially because like the type of people that like go to like Wonderstruck and Wonderbus, I think it'll be like really well received.
That's great.
So, I mean, I can't say everybody's going to love it, but you know.
Well, that's the point, isn't it? Like yep. I had when I was talking about that, and you know, when I was saying controversial things online and that sort of thing, like I had people reach out to me or people close to me, like asking me questions, and it was opening up a dialogue that maybe should have been had a long time ago, but there was no door to have that dialogue because it wasn't just going to happen organically. And some people were off put by it, and I was surprised like who all was, but it kind of showed, you know what I mean? It kind of showed a different perspective for me, not just for them, but for me on certain people in my life. Which is totally fine. And I think that making that controversial art was refreshing for me because I had never put out a song, you know, like that. They had all, you know, been about me or how I'm feeling, super introspective, or about, you know, relationships or family. But this was a very hot topic. Yeah.
Yeah. Are you a fan of Grandson?
I am actually, yeah.
Love Grandson. He played Wonderbus last year and I was so sad I didn't get to go see it because he was my top artist the year before on Spotify. But like a lot of his music is very like socially like aware.
Yeah, it is. It is. And I think part of that inspired me because I've always like been afraid to say, you know, certain political things or whatever, because I'm not going to pretend to know everything about politics. I'm just some guy who makes music, right? And I'm not going to pretend to know. But do I have an opinion, or do I apart from politics, do I think I have a generally good moral compass on what's good for the good of humanity? Sure. And the people in my life, you know, keep me in check with that. Yeah, I think I've slowly been inspired unknowingly by his ability to speak his mind.
I think that's really cool. What can people expect from a day two show? Like, what's the vibe? Like, what's the usual? Like, what's the fit? Like, you know, how am I going to interact with people when I'm there? Like, what do you want people to take away from your shows?
Right. Well, it's a blast. Like we've always tried to bring big, you know, wherever we were playing, you know, on tour, because you roll up to venues you've never been at before. You don't know what it's going to look like. It's not a huge room. You know, it's like 300 cap rooms. And, you know, you gotta try and bring as much like energy as an arena show to a club, you know? And so it's all about that. A lot of audience participation. You know, people there, you know, we just want them to have a good time, you know, because that's what we're doing. We're there having a good time, and we wouldn't be playing this music if we didn't enjoy doing it. And so we just want the people in the audience to have a good time too, and feel free and feel heard and feel seen. You know, I try to take time in the show to look at every person and make a connection with every person, and, you know, take time and talk to the people in the crowd as well, just because I feel alone, and I feel like everybody else feels alone. So if we can feel alone together, I think it makes things a little better.
Where's your favorite place that you've traveled on tour so far?
San Francisco was really cool. There was something very special about that crowd. Sometimes when you are on tour and you're an opener for a larger artist that most people came there to see, you walk on stage not knowing if this crowd wants you to, like, if you're going to have to earn this crowd's respect, or if they're going to just give it to you. And I'm okay with either. Like, I have no problem working for it. And that's why, like, you'll notice in the set, the first song, there's immediately some audience participation. And that's kind of like a test track to see, okay, is this audience going to make me work for it? Or are they going to give it to me right away? Like, how is the show going to go? How hard do I need to push the audience, you know, to put on this show with me? And yeah, San Francisco, they just, they gave it all like right away. It doesn't happen very often as, you know, as an opener on tour for people. But when it does, it's so nice and so welcoming. And, you know, we were like over 2,000 miles away from home and we had had a lot of like van troubles. And I was having a bad day that day. It was so nice to walk out on that stage and just have like the room full of people welcome us in a place that like we had never been to before at that point. So that was really, really special.
So if you could go on tour with anybody, like be an opener for anybody, who would you want to be an opener for?
Oh, wow. You see, that's an interesting question because it's like, would you want to go on tour with somebody who, you know, has the largest draw and is playing stadiums every night? Or would you want to go on tour with somebody who has like the most loyal of fans, you know, and like they will support you and take care of you, but it's not as large because, you know, like, I mean, I don't know what numbers Justin Bieber's doing when he plays arenas, but I'm assuming that he's selling out. But are those fans that are like just there for Justin Bieber, or are they there, you know, willing and like open arms to other people that, you know, Justin Bieber like fucks with? And yeah. Yeah. So that's a good question. Like 21 Pilots is obviously playing arena style tours and their fans are super welcoming and opening, I think, to other artists. So that would be cool. John Bellion, just because I'm a huge fan of his songwriting. Julia Michaels would be really, really, really cool. I love Julia Michaels. I forgot to put her on the lineup. Oh no. Well, she goes on the festival too. She's one of my favorite songwriters as well. Yeah. I don't know. Well, I'm sorry. I don't have a.
No, that's okay. That was an answer.
Any of those people. Yeah. Any of those people.
So how did you come up with your like stage name?
Yeah. So I've always kind of struggled with a sense of identity, like growing into, you know, an adult, quote unquote. And you know, who I'm supposed to be or what I'm supposed to believe or how I'm supposed to act and what I want to do and want to be and how I want to act. And the name Day Two kind of came from this concept of, you know, if you're not happy with who you were one day or what you did one day, you can always wake up the next day and change it. You don't have to be tethered to anything. And so there's always a day two if you allow there to be.
That's really sweet. Like, I love that.
Nice.
Yeah, because I make all of my work under the name Bar Buddies, but like it's like a separation where it's like Bar Buddies is like a performance almost. And then like Jen is just like a normal, you know, human with regular issues, where like Bar Buddies is almost like a character.
Yeah, no, I absolutely know what you mean. And a reason why I gave it, you know, a name rather than just like, my name's Kevin McRorty. So first of all, that's not like a very typing into your computer or phone friendly name, but I changed it today too, because I wanted it to feel like a collective almost, you know, it feels like a group of people, like including the fans, you know, and the audience and everything. So I wanted it to not feel like it was just tethered to some guy, you know, doing his thing. And on stage, like I bring along Jesse Carl, who plays drums, and I bring along Garrett Wade, who plays guitar. And, you know, I say like, we're Day Two on stage, because at that point in time, like we are Day Two, you know? And so sometimes, you know, sometimes it's just me and, doing certain things, but then, you know, for the live show and some other things, you know, it's us. And so I introduce it that way. And then when Day Two is very much so meant to be separate from Kevin McRorty, because Day Two can be whoever, you know, I want it to be.
It's the endless possibilities.
Right. Absolutely. It's a platform to try new things and make mistakes and grow, and exactly like what the name means. Like that's what it's for, is to wake up the next day and try new things if I'm not happy with how it was the day before.
So as we're getting ready to wrap up, because we're almost hitting the what are we at, like, half hour mark? What advice would you give to people that are just starting out or are afraid to put their stuff out there? Maybe some advice that you wish you would have heard when you were first starting out.
Do not take, and this is not like, I'm not the first person to say this, but do not take it all too seriously. Stick to your gut. Like, if you believe something and if you have an idea that somebody's telling you is not it, try it out. What's the worst that happens? It doesn't go viral and you don't get, you know, a million streams. You just try again, you know, you just try again. So, you know, plan and preparation, but also, you know, it's music and the music isn't the hard part. You know, it's getting heard. That's the hard part. So don't be afraid to just be a little silly, be a little weird, catch some attention and do exactly what you want.
So as they say on the game show Hot Ones, congratulations, you've completed the interview. You can use this camera, this camera, and you can tell the people what you have going on. So if there's anything that you want to plug, now would be the time to tell the listeners.
Absolutely. I'm playing a show in Wonder Bus coming up, obviously, which is what this has all been about. August 27th, which is my sister's birthday, by the way. So I'm missing my sister's birthday to be there and play the show. But I'm super pumped, and I'm super pumped to, you know, play in Ohio and play in Columbus. Since last time I was supposed to, it got canceled. This will be redemption, and it'll be great. And I have a new song coming out on September 2nd. First time I've said this. So I haven't announced anything else. So new song is called Someone Tell Me I'm Not Good Enough on September 2nd. And you can pre-save it now if you want, or don't, and just listen to it when it comes out.
Hi, it's Jen again. I want to thank you for listening to this episode. Someone Tell Me I'm Not Good Enough is out everywhere you find your music. You can keep up with all things Day 2 on Instagram at DayTVVO, or check the link in the episode description. As for me, you can find Bar Buddies on Instagram at Bar Buddies Pod and tell me who you want to see on the show next. This episode was produced in collaboration with Voltage Live.